Hey, look, Billy, I found a candy cane up here. I think I'll keep that. Yeah, I wasn't holy enough to get one of those. That's why I hang around you, brother. That's why I hang around you. Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. While you're turning there, I want to make a public service announcement. You didn't know you got those for free. Just a word. I just want to encourage you, if you are in need of one of our handicapped spots, or if you are a visitor to our church, please use those spots. That's what they're for. If you're not, please find another. And I don't have anybody in mind, but I know that we've had some that need those spots and we've run out, and maybe we need to add some more. But one of the things as members of our church, if we are bodily able to walk, I know the staff, we do this kind of as a love offering. I don't know if y'all have ever noticed, but we park way out there on Sunday because we want to leave those spots for you. We get here before you do, and we can snag those front spots, but as an act of agape love to you, we park out, and that's not to pat ourselves on the back, but I want us to instill that spirit in our church. So just kind of be caught conscious of that we have some folks that need those. And I also want to say, if you do show up and you're in need of one of those spots and there are not any available, it's real common and it's okay to pull up on this sidewalk up here right up to the door and let people off that are in need of a little assistance, let them right off at the door. So we want to accommodate you. We want you to know that we want you here. However you can get here, we want you here. So Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 12. Now, the book of Ephesians comes from the Apostle Paul, and he's been talking about the state that we were in when we were sinners, before Christ, before we had Christ. And so we pick it up in verse 12. Remember that at that time, when we were sinners, you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenant of the promise. Now, I preached on the covenant of the promise, the old covenant and the new covenant, just a few weeks ago, without hope and without God in the world. So that's who we are outside of Christ. No hope, no God. We're not members of his family. But now, he says, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. Is anybody please say an amen right there? Amen. See, we were far away, separate from Christ, but through the blood of Christ, we have been brought near. For he himself, Christ, is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, which is sin, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two. Does that sound like a wedding you've been to, perhaps, lately? You see, Christ is our bridegroom, us being the church, being his bride, and it says the two shall become one flesh. It's just like the groom and the bridegroom, and so really marriage is just a kind of a snapshot of how it is with God. The two shall become one flesh. Thus, because we have been now created two into one, thus making peace. And in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and he preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. He's speaking of the Gentiles and the Jews. Far away, the Gentiles, those who were near, the Jews. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Let's pray. Father, every Sunday, I invite your Holy Spirit to come. And I do so this morning. Come, Holy Spirit. And we do that, Father, because we need you. We do that because we need to hear from you. And we do that, Father, because we want you to manifest yourself in us and make us be like you. So now come, Holy Spirit, and speak in power and authority and transform us in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to start off by asking you a simple question. Are you filled with peace this morning? Got some amens. I like amens, by the way. It's okay. I preached at St. John's Baptist Church before, a predominantly black congregation, and I love it. Because, I mean, they let you know they're out there. So it's okay. You know, we're kind of freeze-dried Christians sometimes. It's okay. I am too. It's okay. Freeze-dried. You never been called a freeze-dried Christian? Are you filled with peace this morning?
Amen.
Now, we got several amens coming up, but if truth be known, I bet some of us aren't. I bet some of us aren't. I hope by the end of today, the end of this time together, I hope we are, all of us. Would you like to be if you're not? And that's a rhetorical question. You don't have to answer out verbally. Are you filled with peace this morning? We continue our Advent sermon series. Jesus came for you. Jesus came for you. Not just for me and not just for the whole world, but for you. And so, since Jesus came for you, so be full of peace. Be full of peace. When the angels announced that Jesus had been born, here's what it says. It's recorded in Luke chapter 2. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel to the shepherds, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest," here we go, "and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." Now, Jesus came to provide peace. But I believe that we misinterpret that sometimes. I believe that it's a different kind of peace than we sometimes think that means. God bless his soul. John Lennon wrote a song. Let's give peace a chance, wasn't it? Isn't that the name of the song? Come on, some of you Beatles guys. You're all like, "I never listened to them. I didn't." You know. Give peace a chance. Wasn't that the name of the song? Got a few brave ones that admit to listening to the Beatles. But bless his heart, I don't think John Lennon got it. I mean, because as long as sin is in the world, our world is going to be in chaos. Do we know that? And so for us to think that we can, as the whole world, remember the old Coke commercial where, a long time ago, some of you, y'all don't remember, but some of the, you remember, "I'd like to teach the word." Remember? And that's the idea that many people have, is that we all circle up and we sing the Coca-Cola song. Sing in perfect harmony. Come on, sing it with me, baby. Y'all, this is two Sundays in a row I've sang, by the way. Don't start expecting that, because I usually charge for that, but that's the idea we have of peace, this peace where we all circle around the campfire and we sing Kumbaya and everything is okay, but I want to tell you that we live in a broken, sinful world and it's not going to happen. So that's not the kind of peace that the angels were proclaiming. It's not the kind of peace that Jesus came to provide, because he understood. In fact, the very reason that he came into this world was because it was broken. And because he knew that there was not going to be peace in the world. In fact, a few things that Jesus promised to us that we don't really like to talk about, he promised us trouble. We don't like to sit around the campfire and sing about that one, do we? In this world, you will have trouble. He promised it. And he promised us division. Listen to this out of Luke chapter 12. Do you think I came to bring peace on the earth? No, I tell you, but division. And he talked about that in Christ, when you follow me, that divides people. We see it all around us, don't we? He said that it would actually break up families. Father would be against son and husbands and wives, and there would be division because of him. And he actually said that he promised hatred to his followers. That not that we were to hate, but that people would hate us for his sake. All men will hate you because of me, Matthew 10:22. So that's not the sort of peace that we are proclaiming as Christians in this Advent season. So, but we, because Jesus came for us, we can be full of peace. Number one, the first reason is because Jesus is peace. Jesus is peace. He's the very epitome of peace. About 800 years before Christ came into the world, listen to these words by the prophet Isaiah. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So, several hundred years before Christ was born, he was proclaimed the Prince of Peace. He says, Jesus himself says in John 16, I have told you these things, and he had been speaking to them about the kingdom and so forth. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Not outside of me or not in some other way. It's not like going to, oh, well, if I just read the right book, or if I just watch Oprah every day, or if I just get the right counselor, or if I just... No, he's saying, in me you may have peace. In verse 14 of the verse we read today out of Ephesians, it says that for he himself, referring to Jesus, he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. So we can have peace, church, because the person that drew us here today, that drew us here together, is peace. And in him we find peace. So number two, we can be a full peace because Jesus longs to give us peace, give you peace. Do you understand that that's the heart of Christ for you? There's this longing in his heart to woo you unto himself in order to offer you peace. Listen, this is one of my favorite passages in the whole Bible, Matthew 11, the words of Christ. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Man, doesn't that just feel good? And if you've experienced it, don't you just know it? The peace that comes with Christ. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Peace. We have this Savior that is peace. He's everything about him is peace. And he's wooing us to himself in order to offer us peace. He's courting us. He's drawing us unto himself. Jesus on the cross, and I've said this before, and I love this this passage where Jesus has been unjustly accused and condemned, and he's been whipped, and he's been spat upon, and he's been nailed to a cross, and while he's hanging on the cross, he's looking down at the soldiers, and he's looking down at the crowd, and I can just see some of the disciples maybe out in the bushes peeking through just to see what's going on, the ones who have scattered and deserted him. And he looks upon all these people, and he sees the soldiers fighting and gambling over his clothes. And while he's hanging there, he says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Even in that moment, the agony of that moment, he's offering peace. He's wooing us. And then later in the story, John chapter 20, we read that the resurrected Jesus, after he's been through all of that and he's accomplished everything that he set out to accomplish, and the disciples are huddled in a room and they've heard rumors that he's risen and they're scared to death, and I know what's going through their mind. They're first of all, they're thinking, is this true? Did it really happen? And second, they're going, uh-oh. Peter's thinking, he heard me deny that I even knew who he was 3 times. And the others are thinking, he saw that I wasn't at the foot of the cross. I didn't support him at the trial. I didn't cry out to save him. I scattered. I deserted him. And they're thinking, man, I'm going to get it. It's what I used to feel like when I knew when mom said, wait till your dad gets home. The whole day you're just sitting there going, oh, man, I'd be stuffing, you know, toilet paper and stuff in my back pockets. You think the disciples were sitting in the room with toilet paper in their back pockets? But Jesus, he finds his way into the room, and instead of a good scolding, here was his first comment to them, peace be with you. Jesus is peace, and he wants peace for us. Not peace that the world gives us, but his peace. Third thing, we can be full of peace because true peace comes through faith in Christ. This is, I'm moving into the how-to. You know, it's great in theory. Yeah. Jesus is peace and he wants peace. How do we do that? Through faith in Christ. Listen to this out of Romans. The Apostle Paul, again, is speaking. And he's showing us that peace is tied to faith in Christ. Listen to this. Therefore, since we have been justified, meaning that our sins have been washed away, it says just as if God looks at us through Christ, just as if we've never sinned. He looks at us and he sees a clean slate through the blood of Christ. Do you see that? He sees a clean slate. So whatever garbage you brought in, you drug in, behind you this morning, Jesus, through Jesus, God doesn't see that. He doesn't see the chains that are binding us. So since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it's through faith in Jesus Christ that we have peace. If you've experienced that, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Fourth thing, we can have full peace. Because authentic peace transcends feelings and circumstances. Paul in Philippians 4 says, and Paul, you have to, if you haven't studied the life of the Apostle Paul, get in a Bible study and do it, because it's an incredible life, and the witness of his life is just blows you away. But he was persecuted like no other besides our Savior. I mean, he was beaten and left for dead on numerous occasions, and all sorts of things happened to Paul in service to Christ. And here's what he says in Philippians 4. He says, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Peace. And I've told the story, I don't know, a few weeks ago or maybe a couple of months ago, but where there was one passage where Paul is literally beat. They think he's dead, and they drag him to the outskirts of town because they don't want him dying in their town. And they drag him to the outskirts of town, and they just drop him on the side of the road, left him for dead. And some of his disciples find out, and they come, and they see that he's not dead, just near death. And they nurse him back to health. And instead of, you know, I don't know, I would hope that I would do better, but probably when they nurse me back to health, I'd be saying, I ain't going back there again. See ya. Let's find a new town. But Paul goes right back in to the same town that just drug him out, thought he was dead. Content, peace, in the midst of a brutal beating. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every circumstance. We can have full peace that is not attached to our feelings or our circumstances, church. That's not peace. That's good luck. Yeah? When everything's going right and we're happy, that's not godly peace. That's just good luck. It's like, man, it's been a good week. I feel at peace. But see, God is talking about this peace. Jesus came to give us this peace that transcends the circumstances, no matter what we're facing. In the midst of that, it doesn't mean we rejoice, because, you know, I'm sure as they were beating Paul, he was not like, hey, give me another one. But it's in the midst of that beating. And maybe our beating is not physical. Maybe our beating is emotional, spiritual. But in the midst of that, to say, I don't know what it is. I've heard people say that. I don't know what it is, but the whole time these things were happening, I just felt real calm. And I said, hello. That's the Holy Spirit. It's God. Peace that transcends understanding. Fifth thing, we can be full of peace because lasting peace comes from being filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus, as he was preparing to go to the cross, and he knew his physical time on this earth was drawing near, and he's setting the stage and he's explaining to the disciples what's getting ready to happen. And they're understandably so. They're pretty rattled, pretty shook up by it all. And here's what Jesus said. He had just promised the Holy Spirit, and he said, peace I leave with you. My peace, because he's basically saying, I'm peace. So I'm giving you my peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives, because the world's peace is circumstantial. We have peace if things are going well. We have chaos if they're not. That's the world's peace. But Jesus wasn't saying, I give you that kind of peace. He says, I give you peace that's not of the world. It's of me. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. He's saying, trust me. And you've heard me tell the story, if you've been here for very long, that when I was going into ministry and things were not happening the way I thought in the time frame that I thought, and I was, quite frankly, I was frustrated, scared to death, and a little bit angry. And through about a 10 or 11 day journey of really pressing into the Lord, he led me to Proverbs 3:5. And it said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. That's all he really wanted to tell me. And I thought I was going to have this booming voice like, go to Siberia, you know, or something like that. But no, he just said, trust me. I got it. And I was just thinking as we were worshiping, y'all heard me if you were at the Christmas reception that we had last week, you heard me say, I just feel blessed. I feel blessed to be a child of the King, and I feel blessed to be here with y'all. I cannot, y'all are the answer to so many prayers that my family has prayed for us. That Cheryl and I prayed, and my mom's here this morning, I know she prays for me. Y'all are the fruit of those prayers. And there were, but I'll tell you, before God kind of started laying out in more clearly what his plan was, there was some dark days, some days of unknown, scared to death, angry, frustrated. In the midst of that, Jesus is saying, peace I leave with you. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust me. And this, when the Holy Spirit is in us, and if you don't understand that more fully, I'm not going to really, the message is not about how that works and all, but if you don't understand that fully, please call me or talk to me after church, and I'll explain more of that to you. But basically it is, when we come and when we ask Christ to be our Lord and our Savior, when I baptize, I want you to pick this up. I always, in the prayer, I invite the Holy Spirit to dwell in this person, because that's what God said to do. And he says that when we accept Christ, and when sin is set aside, when sin is done away with through the blood of Christ, and we accept that and we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, it says that God is no longer out there. God is in here. It says that He comes and He dwells inside of us. The God of the universe lives inside of us in Christ. Peace. So Jesus is peace. He came to provide peace, and He yearns for us to have peace. And lasting peace comes from being filled with the Holy Spirit. Listen to this. The fruit of the spirits are you've heard that term. The fruit of the Spirit is found in Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is, I've memorized these because I want to know what I have. I want to know what I can tap into at any moment. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I want to challenge you to learn those fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. I want you to learn those fruits of the Spirit, because if you're a pecan tree, you might as well have pecans. And the people know that it's a pecan tree because they harvest pecans from the pecan tree, and they see the big full fruit hanging in the trees. Man, be God's pecan tree. And you notice the third one listed there is peace. If you've been here very long, you've heard me tell this story. I'm going to just tell it quickly. But in 2006, July 2006, my family and I went to school. I went to school for 5 summers at Duke University and their seminary program there in the summer. And this particular year, it was the 2006 year, my next to last year, and I got a call one day towards the end of class, and it said that Cheryl and the girls had been in a car wreck. And, of course, I in a strange town, and all sorts of things are flying through my head, and they just said, here's where they are. And we went over there. I was with some buddies from school, and they took me over there. And fortunately, everybody was okay. It was a kind of a fender bender kind of a deal. But they were on the side of the road. And as the police were talking to the drivers, the husband of the lady who hit our family was standing there. And I just struck up a conversation with him. And he and I started talking, and he asked, where we live, what we were doing there, and I was telling him that, and he said, well, why are you at school here? And I said, well, I'm a pastor. I'm getting some seminary coursework here, and he stopped, and he kind of looked at me, and he said, you're a pastor? And I said, yes, sir. And he said, his name was Jim, and he said, and we, as the conversation unfolded, I found out that Jim had cancer in his throat, in his neck here, and he already had some surgeries, and there was the side of his face was a little, there was an indention there where they had removed some tissue in his throat, and he said, well, through this long conversation, probably 15-20 minutes while the police were doing their thing, I said, would you like to talk? And so my coursework, I had more than enough to do, but I knew the Lord had set up that meeting, and I began to spend evenings and Saturdays through that month with him and his wife. His wife's name was Candy, and I began to meet with Jim, and I began to share the gospel with Jim. And Jim was scared to death of dying. And through our meetings and conversations, and I don't say this for self-glorification because God set it all up and did everything. I was just willing, and I was there. And led Jim to Jesus. And it just so happened that there's Jim. You can see his shirt's wet. I just had just baptized him. A little over a year later, I went back to school the next summer in July, and I touched base with Jim again, and he was failing. And about 3 months later, after I finished up my schooling in October of 2007, I got this, I heard that Jim had passed away, and I sent this to his wife, Candy, and I said, Dear Candy, I just learned of Jim's passing. I just wanted you to know that I am sorry for your loss and my prayers are with you. As always, I wish the very best for you. May God hold you close. Jeff. 2 days later, I got this response from her and said, "Thank you, Jeff. I think you would like to know that in his delirium, several days before his death, Jim wrote your name a couple of times." I asked if he were thinking of you, and he nodded. "I know he is with Petey Boy now and that they are both whole and well and happy." Listen to this last sentence. "I appreciate the peace of mind you gave Jim." And I responded to Candy and I said, "Candy, I didn't give Jim peace of mind. Only Jesus can do that. But I led him to the Savior that is peace." So I want to tell you this morning, maybe there's a Jim in your life and maybe you are a Jim. Scared to death of something. You know, fear is not from God. Did you know that? Fear is not from God. It's from the enemy. Peace. Peace is from God. And that's the heart of Christ for us, is peace. He doesn't want his people walking around living in fear, living in bondage, dragging those chains behind them. He wants us to have peace. If you'd bow your heads with me. I have to ask you, if you'd bow your heads and close your eyes. This is your time. If the Lord is speaking to your heart, if he's tugging on your heart and he's saying, "I want that peace for you." "That's my heart for you," God says. If that's you this morning, is an act of surrender while eyes are closed, raise your hand. That's all I'm going to ask you to do this morning. Okay, thank you. God bless you. I don't speak for the Lord, but I do think that he would tell you with all his heart he wants that for you. It's why he came. That's why we celebrate this season of Advent. We celebrate that Jesus loves you enough that he became flesh, God himself, Emmanuel, God with us. He became flesh to provide you peace. Peace comes through him. Lasting peace comes through him. It doesn't come with a full bank account. It doesn't come with a clean bill of health from the doctor. It doesn't come when all your ducks are in a row and all your relationships are where they should be. Peace comes from Jesus. And he wants that for you. He wants to dwell in you. And he wants you to have the fruit of the Spirit. Father, thank you for Jesus. I thank you that you did come for us so that we would be full of peace. Bless these this morning. I pray blessings, just abundance of peace to fall on everyone in this room. Father, may people see us and wonder where that comes from. May we have an answer for those who wonder where our hope comes from. Help us to be that kind of people. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would stand as we close. The altar is open. I invite you, if you have never made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, what a great day to do that. I invite you to come forward and visit with me about that or anything else you'd like for me to pray for.
All who are weak, come to the fountain.
Those of us, which is all of us, who were once far away, we have been brought near through the blood of Christ. Jesus is our peace. He wants peace for us. We receive that through faith in Jesus Christ. Go and live in that peace and go and tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless you.
Come, Lord Jesus.